Hi, everyone. Unfortunately, the next speaker can't make it, so we've changed the program. She is, I think, delayed and is not in Brussels yet. Instead, we thought, because we have so many funders and people who work around funding, that we'll do a little discussion slash Q&A about funding in general. We have quite a few organizations here who have organized this dev room together. We're doing this for the first time. Some people have even their logos, but we're going to do a small round of introductions, just so you know which organizations are there, and then we'll just take whatever questions you have in general about the topic of funding, and hope we can answer as many as possible. I'm starting. My name is Marie. I am the co-director of Prototype Fund. I'm here together with my colleague, the other Marie from Prototype Fund. it's just an accident. And we are a German government funder, funding open source, mostly security and infrastructure innovation projects.
Thank you, Marie. I'm Tara. I'm a technologist at the Sovereign Tech Agency. We're also a German organization funded by the German Ministry for Economy and Climate Action. I'm here with my colleague Mirko, who's leading our Sovereign Tech Fund program. And you'll hear more from Mirko in the next session. So I'll let him also talk more about the organization, and I'll hand it over to Ronnie.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm Ronnie Lam. I am with Anelnet Foundation. I'm here alone because we have a buff room at one, so there's a bit of overlap. We are running several NGI Zero projects. And also some other funds that are available.
Hello, I'm the other Mirko. Hi, Mirko. I work with Linux Foundation, and as such, we're participating in the NGI Commons project that's supposed to measure the impact of open source, or basically open technology funding, on the NGI program and others. We do, well, of course, host many projects, but what maybe less few people know is we do research programs where we assess the state of the open source ecosystem in Europe on regular reports that are coming up every year. And I participated in that. And I also have a research background in the economics of open source. So looking forward to that discussion.
So I'm sitting in the back. So I'm François, part of Probable. So Adrien also is my colleague over there. We are building a company around scikit-learn, which is a famous Python framework for machine learning. So we are building a mission-driven company where it's baked in the bylaw that we need to, and we want to maintain and ship open-source software for data science. And we're also setting up a business model around it, building support activity, pro services activity, product, sponsorship program. So I'm very happy to co-organize this this room with you guys and hear your questions around our probable company. Thank you very much.
Yes, so if you have a question for any of the organizations, you want to take over?
Yes, we need to not forget the last organization that has been running this dev room. Unfortunately, Alex from Free Software Foundation Europe cannot be here right now, but we should mention that they've also really worked hard to help us put this together before we take questions. So now we're taking questions. Anything funding, we'll try to answer. Of course, funding happens in different contexts, and maybe we're not the right person to ask to answer the specific questions, but we'll try to answer anything we can. You should know that this microphone, which doesn't make my voice louder, is there for the online feed, and that means we'll have to repeat your question for the people online to hear it. So please keep your questions a bit short so we can not spend too much time repeating questions. First question, yes.
A lot of you have managed to talk to funders and government to convince them to fund you and so you can disseminate to the right people. Can you share a bit of behind the scene what goes into these kind of conversations, and if at all other people interested in lobbying to their government can do that too?
Yeah, so the question is about how to talk to governments to have such funds and get such support, and what are the dynamics. I think we have very different cases of how it went. I can start with Prototype Fund. Maybe you can say something about STA. Prototype Fund was basically a random panel with a ministry and a nerd, and he said, hey, it would be good if you'd fund open source. And the person from the ministry happened to be kind of into it and said, let's talk. And then you, of course, need to very quickly start being very professionals for it to continue. And this person got Open Knowledge Foundation Germany involved. They had experience with fundraising and writing grant applications. And then very quickly, it turned into a very professional thing. But I think there is also a bit of an element of finding the right people in government that will be happy to support you, which we had a lot of luck with.
Thank you. Yeah, I would say also, like, for us, it's a lot of also doing, like, laying the groundwork and laying sort of, like, the necessary sort of advocacy work. So I think for the Sovereign Tech Agency, we had people also, like, write about the importance. Like, for example, Felix Rueda, who wrote an important article about explaining why. Felix Rueda was sitting here, by the way. Wrote an important article about, like, why it's important to have something like the Sovereign Tech Agency. Also, our co-founders, Adriana and Fiona, wrote a feasibility study that you can also see on our website that was laid the groundwork to what our concept is, based on also like their experience and like the team's experience in building like some similar structures and similar working in similar fields. So I think that's the important thing, is like having like a understanding like what the problem is, talking to the right people, maintainers coming to places like here and understanding what the problems are, and then connecting it with solutions that are based in evidence and presenting that case to the policymakers.
Do you want an EU perspective?
So within Anelnet, most of our funds come from the European Commission. And well, that started off like in 2018 or something. We did a Gartner research, with the European Commission to identify what was missing in Europe. And there was really a need for open source software. So that's when we started off with some funds to grant open source projects. And well, yeah, new funds have come after that. Because, European Commission still says that open source is needed, is very important. However, maybe at the end of this year, it will not be called NGI anymore, Next Generation Internet, but the funds will still be there, but with another name. Other, well, I saw you first.
Can you say anything about how you work with, or if you work with, research funders, government research funders that also are funding open source? And if there's kind of, if you should, if you shouldn't, if there's pros or cons?
Is that a question for me? I will repeat the question, and maybe you can repeat the question.
So the question was how we can work with research funders, and we basically have overlapping funding programs for open source technology and for research. So the projects that I've been working in were all combined research funding and open source funding, actually more research funding. And I think it is important to understand that these programs have different purposes, and that research funding programs don't primarily aim at outcomes that are open technologies. And that sometimes poses a problem, especially towards when these projects end. There's huge enthusiasm of all the participants because they want to get their papers published and their work read until that project ends. And then there's a cliff. Right? And everybody disappears to the next project, and the outcomes of the project are in the air. And if you're lucky, they develop a life of their own. But most of the time, unfortunately, they will not be continue to be developed. And I think that's the major challenge that we should keep in mind when we work with research programs that are time-limited and specifically focused on a topic, is that during the program, we already need to plan the transition project, usually called like dissemination or something, where normally we say, let's talk about this so people read about this. But today, I think, especially in combination with open technology development, we need to talk about how do we transition this into a viable community that can continue when the research funding program ends. We are at the Linux Foundation thinking of this as we set up projects and participate in grants, grant-funded projects. But it's in a way a new approach. Like we haven't developed like the best practices for this across the board. Anybody else?
I can represent the edge case. We are the tech funder and the research program in one. So we're funded by the Federal Ministry for Education and Research in Germany. And officially, we're not a funder. We're a researcher. And what we're supposed to do as Open Knowledge Foundation is to research how to fund open source. And we happen also to fund open source while doing that. It's a bit of a funny situation to be in because you write a lot of research report, but people think you're a funder only. Very frustrating for the research people in the team, I think. And we also have that issue with sustainability because it doesn't matter that much to the people when the fund was set up. It didn't really matter that much if the projects would be sustainable. And only within years of doing research about how to fund correctly, we were able to make the topic emerge. And now we're like in the next stage of doing that. It's an interesting combination. It wasn't probably perfect at the start, but I see benefits of doing both at the same time.
Yeah, I'd say also like for us, research is very important. It's when, for example, when we built our resilience program, it was based on looking at sort of the research that was out there on bug bounty programs, which, and then we found out, for example, there was a gap in the research on bug bounty programs in open source. So we then commissioned the research to look into these questions. Because for us, like we had some assumptions based on conversations with maintainers, but we wanted to also have some those assumptions also tested in a scientific way, so that, and we found out that, yeah, we did learn a lot from that new research, and it sort of also confirmed some of the things that we had assumed, so we knew we were on the right track, and I think that's also, like, part of, I think, our way of doing, like, public interest technology is to reiterate based on science and evidence, and then actually doing, and then comparing the results, and then coming up with a new iteration for our programs, so, yeah, so definitely I think it's important to support research.
Yeah, so I, maybe I'll just introduce myself for this wild show up here. So I'm Alex from the FSFE, and yeah, they asked me to join this panel, which I'm now on here, and I'm happy to take your questions.
I like this question a lot. The question is whether we have any advice on what to do right in applications and what we should not be doing. I think people should start by answering the questions we ask. Because we ask very specific things because we have point systems internally based on, like, is the person competent? And we ask, what's your background? We don't ask you to tell us another story in that field because then we cannot answer that question for that particular application. And there's reasons why we want to know specific things. And ask them for real. Like, we ask, for example, milestones and the amount of applications we get with one back-end, two front-end is way too high. It's like we need to be able to understand your project. The second thing is, don't try to bullshit us. It's like all these like big long sentences about the state of the world and whatever, they don't help. They just take space away. Try to come to the point and ask the question with like W's, like, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? Who are you doing it with? When are you going to do it? These things, like, be concrete is, I think, the most important thing. And also read the manual. Like, don't come with like, I want to do a lot of maintenance. If you're applying to an innovation fund, for example, like, make sure you actually write an application that fits that one fund, because otherwise you have no chances and you're wasting your own time.
You read a lot.
Well, yeah, this, I mean, I can only repeat what you say, but one thing to add to that is don't be just another project, because we have so many, yeah, but we do this better. Be original, because if you can do it better, then join the other project. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, I want to emphasize the fact that, yeah, reading the questions is important because, I mean, you might not notice, but it takes us sometimes weeks or months to write these questions. Everything is there for a reason. We try to also elaborate, for example, through some explaining text also in our, like, criteria for applying what we support and what we can support, what we can support, just to also, like, because we don't want you to go through the process if there's not a good fit. But yeah, ultimately, like, so the important part about looking at, and explaining things and not assuming that we know things, like, I've been in this field for a long time, I know a lot about open source, but if don't assume that in your application that everyone reading the application will know it, because for us, it's also, being a public funder, it's about also making the case for the software. Like, I could write the application for you, I can fill in all the blanks that are left, but it's often better for that to come from you, because you're the people that know your work best and can make the best arguments for your work. So don't assume knowledge, just write everything as the question is required.
I maybe have one thing to add, because it's a bit the contrary of what you say. Also, don't assume we don't know anything. The amount of applications we get where people describe something that exists, that we use every day, and then say it doesn't exist is extremely high. And we know a bit what's existing and what not, and then tell why it's different or better instead of saying it doesn't exist. There are no solutions to make lists. Yeah, there are a lot. I think, like, and we read a lot of applications, try to stick out. We've read 257 applications in the last months at Prototype Fund, so you need to, like, make sure it's actually really getting to the point to stick out. I think we had a very pressing question there.
Is the best practice or is the good idea to share the winning proposals so other people can have an idea? Do you do something like this? These are the winning proposals, not just the project itself, but this is the actual proposal that we received, and so maybe people can get an idea what is not the bullshit way of explaining things.
So we don't, because there is also personal so if we share winning proposals with people so they can learn from it, we don't, because there is a lot of private information in there. There's people who explain why they're, like, personally related to some project. However, we do share selected parts of applications in a blog post. We're like, this is three good examples for the milestones. This is three good examples for this or that. So we do, like, selected sharing.
For us, it's for the same reasons, but luckily, some of our projects also develop their applications in the open, so those are available for folks who might want to read them. But I think that might be less useful because, like, everything is contextual, and for us, like, your ability of, like, for us, we just need the information. Like, your ability to run an application, like, your level of pros is not the goal here. Like, that's not what we're evaluating. So I think there's also, like, lots of room in applications for people. It's more about, for us, the information and the work. And as long as that's presented in a neat way that helps us get what we want out of it, then that's all we need. So.
Yeah, part of our process is that we also do some in-depth follow-up processes. So we do things in three rounds. And in the second round, we do some follow-up questions. And they are also, like you said, of personal nature. So we cannot share it. But what we do share is which projects did win and what did they describe, but not in the detail as in the proposal, but yes, the project subscriptions there, yeah.
There's something called open grants where people can submit their proposals as well by themselves. It's a platform called open grants.
That you said that there is something like open grants.
There's a platform called open grants where people can, yeah, submit.
It's for the video.
Sorry. Just talking about Open Grants as a platform where you can submit your proposals. Of course, funders can't submit it on your behalf, but you can, as an individual, do that.
Yeah, sure.
I do have a question. The question is, so I don't know how much you can answer, but a lot of philanthropic organizations end up funding the same projects, and because they trust these people and they think that these people will do a good job, and then it creates an echo chamber, and a lot of people who are outside that circle can never actually access that. And we're working on a project where we are trying to work with funders to improve their rubrics for evaluation. Do you think that you also have space for people to contribute to your review system and make sure that it is actually equitable?
She was looking at you.
So the question is about funders that keep funding the same projects over and over again, and whether there is ways to maybe work on processes that make it more equitable, right? So I think there's different types of funders. There are funders that are like gonna fund the established projects, for example, STA. Like with the STF, they do maintenance, so the projects are there, they're strong, that's logical. I think funders like us, Prototype Fund, we do fund a lot of people who have never been funded before. We're trying to make our process better. We're always open to talking about it. However, our processes are also set in stone for several years every time we get new funding for the ministry. So we don't have all the freedom to change our application process, but there's still an interesting learning because we are the type of funder that would actually fund a lot of people who are not part of these echo chambers.
Yeah. And with us, you can reapply, no problem. So if you have been denied, you can ask us why and how, and you can learn from it, and you can improve on your next submission. You have something to say about it?
Yeah, I can also say, like, for us, like, because we're also not coming at it from like a philanthropy logic, like, for us, it's, we have important digital infrastructure that needs to be maintained. That's work that deserves to be compensated. So we look for exactly the types of projects that need maintenance and find people who are maintaining them, and then we pay them to maintain it. And in that sense, we also have two ways of getting applications in. So we do have an open application but we also have our scouting process where we go actively and sort of identify strategic areas or parts of infrastructure that are under-maintained and try to find the best way of getting resources into to maintain that infrastructure. So I think it takes like this two-way approach of like both like pulling people in and then pushing out like support into the field. So more questions?
A question for you, Tara. So recently you and your team launched the Maintainer Fellowship, which is an interesting approach. And that was informed by a survey you did. Okay, how would you define fellowships useful? Could you share with us the key learnings from that and maybe give us a status update on how that's going?
Mirko, do you want to take this? Mirko is our lead on the fellowship, so that's why I'm handing it over to him.
Yeah, so the question was around our fellowship program we did last year, we started. And the question was the survey that we did in order to inform our decisions on this one. So we reached out to our community, and 530 people responded there, and it was kind of a qualitative, quantitative approach, where we asked like questions around, you know, drop downs and so on, but also lots of free texts, and that we reviewed, and there was lots of very interesting parts in that. So I had like some suggestions or like some assumptions around the program, and sometimes we just want to use those surveys to you know, reconfirm them or being proven wrong. But one thing, for instance, was that we feel that the open source maintainer ecosystem is very diverse and that there is no one silver bullet. And one thing was, okay, what if we could, you know, give people the possibility to not only be funded for 40 hours a week, but maybe also only for 6 or 8, because then they could use their Friday off to maintain the projects that they would only support on the weekend and in the evening when the kids are around and all that stuff. And actually that proved true. So there were, I think, one third said, yeah, you know what, below 12 hours a week or like even only 6 hours would be nice for me as well. So that was one learning.
We have time for one very short question. Okay.
So I'm starting a company, and in my career I've been working mostly for like companies and working on closed source software. What's like the advice that you would give me, and especially on the timing of like when to contact such funds? Because like I'm working on a project that is still in very early stages. It's an open source project, of course. And connected to this, are there any kind of like aggregators of information about all your funds? As in, is there a place besides searching on Google for, you know, like funding and open source? Is there anything I can, any site I can go to search for information? Sorry for hacking and asking two questions in one.
So the two questions are, when does one start talking to funders when starting a new project? And where does one find resources about funding and funding lists? I think the where does one start depends a lot on the funder. Mostly funders have timelines on their websites, and you'll have to do research because there's not one answer, in my opinion. And there is a lot of cool funding lists that are like long URLs I don't know by heart that we at Prototype Fund have all on our knowledge base. So like you could find that, but generally it's like a bunch of lists on GitHub, I think, with good funders.
I mean, depends on the program. Like for us, like if you're just starting out, probably not a good, probably not a good fund for you, because we fund existing infrastructure projects. You might be just starting work on a new infrastructure project. That might be interesting for us, but the piece of software you're maintaining should be something that's been there for a while, at least.
Just one short addition. There's also, beside the open source funds that exist, there's also what's called Digital Europe. That is a European fund where when you do something where you have, you know, some international cooperation, you can also go for funds, and there's like a lot of money that's in these type of things, and they are special funds that, at least from my understanding, that are going to be there for everything that is tech sovereignty. And it, or like, you know, that is in something that has more use than, so it's like in difference to, for example, NGI, because NGI is Horizon, so it's like a research fund. Digital Europe is a fund that is about, you know, more sustainable stuff. So, yeah, but this is also what where you can look, and if you find cooperators, it's actually not so bad.
Thank you.
You can also search for GitHub Open Funding. It's a decentralized all the grants and funds available.
I'm hearing there's a lot of input on this question. However, we are out of time. Maybe people meet each other and give each other tips about where to find funding. Thanks, everyone. We're continuing in 10 minutes with the next session. And I already forgot the title again. Funding Fast Together, Combining Public and Private Efforts.
And share links in the chat. I'd like to share links in the chat.
Okay.